is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now, Jessamine McIntyre is doing sidelines on the Cougar broadcast, which starts with the pregame at 3 and the game at 5. And I don't know, Jess, how exciting is this today? Because this is as big of an Apple Cup as you can ever remember.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, I go back to 2012 in Apple Cup, which the Cougars actually won under Mike Leach's first year. It was quite the upset for the Huskies over there in Pullman. But this is the most that I've covered in the Mike Leach era, for sure, most on the line, just because you got the Pac-12 championship, and the Huskies are playing spoiler for the first time in this era, too.
No doubt, and of course, I would imagine, it seems like Mike Leach has been pretty relaxed this week. I mean, I know he had the fun press conference remarked about having the wedding and was laughing about that, and I loved it on Thanksgiving night that he tweeted out a picture of a turkey all dressed up with a remote and a beer getting ready to watch football.
Yeah, I think Mike Leach is finally settling into his personality as a whole out here. You know, this is his sixth year as head coach. You know, he's signed through several more, and he's got his guys, his coaches, his players all throughout this system, where he's not trying to impose his will on, you know, those around him as much as he was trying to establish himself at first. And, you know, winning kind of helps too, John. I think that it allows him to be a little bit better with his personality, and just to show it a little bit more, the fun side.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, of course, it's a kind of fun just to kind of watch how he's doing this. Hey, now, before we get back into the game and all that stuff, you know the news in Nebraska that Bill Moose fired their coach, Mike Riley, today. Is there any chance that you could beat Nebraska trying to come after Mike Price?
Well, I think that was the thought at first, as soon as Bill Moose got hired over at Nebraska. So I got a little bit nervous about that, to tell you the truth, just because how unexpected that hire was. You know, Bill Moose just, you know, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden on a Sunday after the Cougars' first loss of the season, he's gone. I don't think that's the case now. I am not worried about that at all. And Mike Leach said as much, that even though Bill Moose is the best athletic director that he's ever worked with, I'm not all that worried about Mike Leach following, because honestly, Pullman is the Lubbock of the Northwest, and I think he's really settled down there, and I think he's proud of his program, happy with where it's going, and I think he wants to continue to watch it grow out there.
Yeah, I would imagine that's going to be the case. I mean, what is it about Mike's personality that seems to fit in Pullman?
I'm sorry, what is it about his personality?
What personality that seems that he can make it a fit for himself in Pullman?
Oh, well, I mean, it's just he can be himself. He's a big fish in a small pond, and that's not necessarily exactly what he's looking for, but he doesn't want to be in a Los Angeles or a big media market. And that's not to say that Nebraska is like that, but Pullman is a lot more. Go Cougs! Just passing fellow Cougars everywhere, John.
There you go.
And I just think that it allows him to be himself without a lot of outside influences, just the small town, this is what we do. And he doesn't like distractions for his players either, or his coaches. And I think that Pullman just suits him so well for all of those things.
No doubt. And, of course, he's done such a great job. So how do you describe this matchup and how this game should be?
Well, if you were describing it in the beginning of the season versus the end, it's two completely different sets, because in the beginning of the season you'd say, well, this is going to be Luke Falk versus Jake Browning, and that's everything that we're going to see. And now you're looking at it as you're going to watch the speed defense go up against this vaunted Huskies defense. And whoever starts fast and takes care of the ball the most, I think, is what we're going to be looking at, John. I think you got to win the turnover battle more than score as much points as we would have said in the beginning of the season, that, you know, whoever's, you know, really putting up a lot of points, you know, very fast in the beginning of this game. But now we're looking at, okay, you got to watch out for Hercules Mata'afa and Vita Vea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's going to be the challenge. And, of course, you know, you would imagine how geared up the Husky fans are going to be. And I guess the one advantage to some degree is that it's not starting at 7:30 at night for them. They're so sick of the late-night games that this is kind of a nice early kind of revival for the fans.
Right, and it's the first time the Apple Cup has been on a Saturday rather than a Friday, too. So it gives people a lot of time to either travel to the game if they have to do so, or you know, just want to come to the game because the Thanksgiving festivities are over. If they had to go out of town for the holiday, they have time to come back. If they're traveling from outside or from Pullman, to come over. But I'll tell you, John, I've been in that stadium plenty of times. When that place is a packed house, it is rocking, and it is not an easy environment to play in.
No, that is for sure. So what type of things for preparation has Mike done this week to get the team ready for both the crowd and this game?
Well, he treats every single game as, I know it's a boring answer, but he treats every single game as just the next game on the calendar. He is more worried about what the Cougars are going to do on their side of the ball. They're not pumping in crowd noise or anything like that. What I'd say is, well, the bye week came at the perfect time. You know, they had a road win against Utah, and then they had their first bye in week 12. So though he actually allowed his team to rest up, first of all. And so when they got back to practice, it was just business as usual, John. He does not like to take any opponent more or less seriously than another, and he has delivered that message pretty well to his team this year. So I just think that he's worried about what the Cougars are doing on their side of the ball more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. And I want to what advantages come out of that extra week to prepare and also the extra week to rest?
Well, I'll tell you, I think this team would have preferred to have it earlier in the season between weeks, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 8, probably closer to 7 or 8. But the advantages are that, you know, they got to watch the Huskies take on the opponent that they just faced in Utah on Saturday. So that was a pretty good scouting report, especially considering they had just faced Utah the week before. Get to sit down, see what the Huskies have to offer. And to tell you the truth, they just squeaked by, and that was a home game for the Huskies. So I don't know if they're going to come in with more vim and vinegar for that, but it didn't look that great. Now, that's not to say that the Cougars have been playing their best football down the stretch either, but it is definitely going to be an interesting one. I feel like it's really hard to predict. I know that the Cougars, last time I looked, were 9.5 or 10-point underdogs, but I just feel like, and it's also the Apple Cup, and anything can happen in this game. It's hard to predict, John.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that's the thing that you got to see the type of game, and you know that's where the crowd will play into it, and that's where now, when you look at over the last couple of years, what problems and why have the Cougars had such bad games against the Huskies?
Well, you know, the Cougars have been, you know, outmatched when it comes to talent and athleticism a lot by the Huskies, and you know, I can admit that. But also, Chris Peterson knows what he's doing, and he has out-coached or, you know, out-schemed a lot of this. Now, you go back to 2 years ago at the Apple Cup where Peyton Bender came in for Luke Falk, and it's hard to really know what that game would have been like had Luke Falk been healthy to play, but he had a concussion the week before, and that just wasn't going to happen. So there are ups and downs, and, you know, I look the Apple Cup that Mike Leach won, Steve Sarkisian was still coaching, so it's hard to know, but I would just give Chris Peterson all the credit, John, because he has his team ready to play in this game year after year. I don't know that the Cougars will have the same struggles, though, especially considering the gigantic step their defense has taken forward this year. I think it'll be interesting to see, and one interesting thing to see will be special teams, too. I would keep an eye on what Kyle Sweet does in the punt game, because you do not want to give Dante Pettis a chance at all to punt return in this game.
No doubt. But speaking of special teams, I mean, how much of an advantage is it for Washington State to have such a good kicker, and Washington, even though they got the win last week with the kicker, to have such problems kicking?
Yeah, well, in a high-intensity matchup like this, you're going to want your kickers to have their minds right. It's such a mental game, you know. You can almost compare it to the mental game of golf, obviously not the athletic part of it, but the mental game. So it is an advantage. And I'll tell you what, the Cougars had a pretty hard time on kick returns against Stanford, where Eric Powell had to actually make 2 touchdown-saving tackles on kick returns. And so you look at the athleticism there, then, you know, okay, that's great. You have an athletic kicker. But also the following game, he went and booted the ball out of the end zone and did not give Utah a chance on kick return. So they're doing really well. They're strategizing, and they know where their strengths are. They know where their weaknesses are. It is a huge advantage that they have in Eric Powell.
No doubt, and that could help them out. Explain how all of a sudden a team that you didn't think was going to have a defense now has the second-best defense in the Pac-12 in Washington State.
Alex Grinch are the answers to that question, John. He is absolutely the reason that they had it, and he had a picture in mind when he started recruiting for this defense. He's admitted that they have sacrificed some size for athleticism because he wants them to be able to move on the defensive line. It's unbelievable, and I'll say his name a million times, Hercules Mata'apa, how fast he is off the ball. He hasn't jumped off sides this year, which is something we talk a lot about with the Seahawks and Michael Bennett, and you'd almost sacrifice a few offsides for the amount of sacks that he gets. Well, Hercules does it legally, and he is absolutely unbelievable, and it's the exact kind of guy that Coach Grinch wants in his system. Now, you got to give a lot of credit to the linebackers coaches, Ken Wilson and Roy Manning, who have done a tremendous job in the recruiting game. And also, you look at this team, and they buy into what these coaches are saying. They have the ear of these guys. Another thing that you look at, Mike Leach doesn't have an offensive coordinator, right? So he runs the entire offense. He takes a lot of responsibility on that side of the ball. He lets Alex Grinch do his thing. So he's not an overbearing head coach when it comes to that. He's allowed Alex Grinch to be the architect and just pursue the game plan that he had in mind. And Mike Leach believed in him, and look at where they are now.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, because, again, that's the one, I guess, surprise element about this one game is that the defenses have been so good. So I guess the Grinch really has stole the season so far and has really set things up for what's going to be a great game.
He certainly has. I can't wait to see this matchup. I almost wish that I could watch it as a fan, even though I love what I'm doing. I'm going to have to come home and watch it three times just to re-experience it from the opposite side. But it is definitely one that will be watched across the country. I've been getting messages from people all week. This is the game on everyone's calendar.
Hey, curiously now, what kind of fan base is going to be here for this game for Washington State?
Well, there is a certain amount of ticket allotment, but I also know that there are a lot of people who live over here who are Cougs. I'm not exactly sure what the ticket sales look like because when you're buying in state, you don't really know if you're buying for the Cougs or the Huskies, you know, if you're just going online and buying the tickets. But I do know that there are a lot of family members coming in. I know that Luke Falk's family is here. They always travel well. And, you know, the Cougars had their senior game, the Stanford game. So I think a lot of the families made that their travel game if they were going to come from far away. But it'll be well attended, and I know a lot of Cougars are looking forward to this one.
Okay, so and the game itself, it's the buzz is starting. Are you already at the stadium? Or?
I will be down there in about an hour.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a great one to watch, a great thing to view, and I think everybody's going to be excited about it. And we'll be listening starting at 3 with the pregame and at 5 with the game.
We'll have it for you. Thanks, John.
All right, Jezebel McIntyre doing the sidelines, and, of course, you'll hear her in the pregame and during the game. So give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
Load up those phone lines. We're here to the top of the hour, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you on Apple Cup Day?
You know how I'm doing. I'm great, John Clayton, on Apple Cup Day 2017, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Looking forward to it.
That's what I'm saying. Right off the bat, let me give a shout-out to the Sports Bar Network, because without it, there'd be no JohnClaytonDammit.com. And if there was no JohnClaytonDammit.com, the video of the late legendary Husky coach Don James wouldn't be up on this historic Husky Day. So we appreciate members like the Timeout Ale House and Federal Way. And while I'm giving Husky legend shout-outs, John Clayton, I got to give one to the voice of the Huskies, Bob Rondell, on his last broadcast from Husky Stadium today after a distinguished dog career of filling Husky fans' ears with the sweet and sour sounds of victory and defeat as only he could. One of the iconic voices in all of college football, right, John Clayton?
Yeah, I know. And that's going to be so emotional listening to his last broadcast because, I mean, you know, because 37 years he's been working on it. And again, he's been so great. And he has so many good years left. It's sad that we're going to lose that.
That's what I'm saying. I've been missing the guy all season already. And speaking of iconic voices, John Clayton, I heard yours earlier on the John Clayton Show, seeming to lament the fact that the Huskies are favored in the game today. And when I disagree with you, John Clayton, I'm usually reserved and respectful. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but remember, who did I say was going to win the game? The Huskies.
Well, I didn't hear that. Who did you say?
I've been saying the Huskies because I think they're going to win
it. Okay, I didn't hear that part because, like I said, you seem to kind of have an attitude or an issue more to the point with the point spread, and today is the day for dog and cat fighting. So you kind of got under my doggone collar, John Clayton. And I would say, so what if these Cougars are the best team that Mike Leach has ever had? They deserve to be a 9.5-point underdog because they're playing the overdogs. The defending Pac-12 champion Washington Huskies for the 110th Apple Cup on Bob Rondell's last game in Husky Stadium, where it will be rocking like Jessamyn McIntyre just said it's going to be. And speaking of those 9.5 points, John Clayton, I like to echo Rick, a caller earlier, who said the go-to guy must be going crazy. Can you imagine being in the go-to guy's head today? Talk about a guy tripping. I mean, of course he wants more than anything for his Cougs to win the game and thereby the Pac-12 North by dethroning the Huskies in the Apple Cup on Bob Rondo's last day. But he also knows how bad the Cougs can play in big games like this. And even if the Cougs rise to the occasion and play their hearts out, there's always the high probability the Cougs will rip Coug fans' hearts out by stubbing their paws in the waning moments and turn a sure Coug victory into a devastating Coug defeat. There's a term for that. I can't remember it right now. But then, of course, there's that tiny little voice that keeps getting louder and louder as the day grows old in the go-to guy's head. Take the points. And if I was him and any other big Cougar fan like the Fish or Insider Steve or the Killer Bee or Fitzgerald and Ballard, you may as well take the points because at least you can get paid when the Dogs pound the Cougs into the turf of Husky Stadium on Bob Rondell's last game. Since we all know how this is going to go, it's a bow down to Washington Day. And I don't care how many times Matt Nelson plays that Happy Apple Cup ad with the Cougars winning, it's not going to matter. He's got to play it over and over just to jog dog fans' memories. Go Huskies, go Dogs.
There you go. Commando Dave showing the emotion here. And by the way, Matt went to Washington, so it's not like he's promoting the Cougar cause. But that's just the way this rivalry is. I want to get you jumped in on this rivalry. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Big stuff going on, no doubt about it. Give us a call here, and of course, we'll keep you updated on the college football scoreboard because, again, some big games that are going on right now. Obviously, the biggest ones, the Michigan-Ohio State game is now into the third quarter. It's tied at 14. Looks like there's going to be a lot of drama in this one. No drama for Oklahoma State. They're blowing out Kansas 41-0. Tulane over SMU 35-27. It's Purdue 21, Indiana 10. Memphis, who's ranked 20th in the country, beating East Carolina 63-6. Ouch. Florida over Florida State. Boy, when was the last time a Florida-Florida State game was that indisposed as far as emotion? I mean, you got a 4-6 Florida State team leading a 4-6 Florida team, 24-13, with a loser of that game no longer being bowl eligible. Connecticut over Cincinnati, 15-7. That's now in the fourth quarter. Georgia has everything pretty well set against Georgia Tech. It's now 24-7, Georgia leading. Louisville is blowing out Kentucky, 2-7-4 teams, 34-10. It's Boston College 35, Syracuse 14, Wake Forest leading Duke 17-7. And those are the main scores. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Ken in Seattle. Hey, Ken.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Straight here from a Cougar fan.
That's it. All right.
I'm actually going to win because Seattle has two city teams in the high school playoffs. So the Cougars are in luck because Seattle's never had two Seattle City teams in a high school playoff in about, 40 years?
That's about right,
on the Cougars side.
So basically you're saying that the way that something rare like that on high school is going to play into the college.
Absolutely. It has to. We can't get pummeled another year because our fans just are tired of that.
We have to be.
This is the year we have the best team with Mata'afa and all those guys. I think that the only people they really have on offense is Pettis and maybe their running back Gaskin. But other than that, they're not strong enough in the receiving core or the secondary.
Well, I wouldn't concede. The secondary's had injuries, and that's, of course, played into it a lot, and certainly some injuries have played at the wide receiving core. I mean, the one thing, I mean, you know, talent-wise, this is probably the deepest team that Washington has put out, one of the most talented teams. But I think injuries certainly have caught up to them to a point now where the defense in the last two games has not performed as well.
And then you have the Cougars coming up with one of their best teams in a long time.
Agreed.
And uninjured. So it's got to go a different way this year.
Well, and that's where what may play.
There's definitely not going to be a route this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I would also have to think that one of the keys right now is the fact that that bye week really, as much as it probably didn't come at the time that they really wanted it, it really gave them a big break because now they come into this game very healthy.
And we know what Luke Falk can do off of a bye or a bad, somewhat game. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a great game his last game out. So he's got another bounce back in him.
No doubt about it. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Are you going to go to the game?
I wish I could, but I won't be able to, unfortunately.
Darn.
But go Cougs!
There you go. Give us a call here at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Getting you ready for Apple Cup today. Again, the pregame starts at 3. 5 o'clock is the game. And, of course, also getting ready for Seattle going against the San Francisco 49ers. That'll be tomorrow. Game time at 1:05. We start the pregame at 10. Let's go to Julio in Jersey. Hey, Julio, how are you?
Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean to talk to you about is, you know, the fans are trying to blame the offensive line woes on either lack of investment, which is bogus, because they obviously have invested, as you have pointed out, or they want to blame Cable, or they want to blame Carroll. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that nobody touches on is that although John Schneider's organization has made its head with this team, evaluating and identifying talent and then drafting it, especially in pretty much all rounds. They have not done that with the offensive line. That seems to be the weak point. They're evaluating and identifying everywhere else really, really well and amazingly up and down the draft, except for offensive line. And that's ultimately not only my concern for this year, obviously, with the way they play, but my concern going forward to dig out of this offensive line ditch.
Yeah, no doubt. But again, that's a league-wide problem because when you really think about it, there's only 33 offensive linemen drafted this year. And honestly, it looks like Ethan Posick may be playing among the best of the 33 that were drafted. And again, what you're having is the problems. And this is a league-wide problem. I mean, even you go back to Thanksgiving, did you see great play coming from the great Cowboys offensive line? And the answer was no. And so it's just hard to be able to take guys out of college, being able to go ahead and get them out of a spread offense, an air raid offense, and get them up to speed to be able to play in the first couple years and play well. It's, you know, there's some rare ones that can do it, but there hasn't. I mean, 2014 was a good draft for offensive linemen. That's the last one. I mean, you go back to 2015, I mean, 4 of the 6 guys in the top of that first round of that draft have all been pretty much disasters. One, you know, guy like Greg Robinson's already been traded once and then waived injured. So I think what you're seeing is that the Seahawks may not be doing as right, getting the right guys, but it's hard to get the right guys because there may only be maybe 6, 7, 8 right guys that you can get each year. And if they miss on them, hey, they're like everybody else.
No, and you're right. And Postage appears to be hopefully the way out, but to that end, do you think it just might be better if they start drafting a few more?
Since 2010, this team has drafted more offensive linemen than any team in football.
No, understood.
So it's like, you know, it's like they've been doing it and they've been putting emphasis. I mean, you can see Justin Britt's a second round pick, Ethan Posick's a second round pick. You know, they've invested in thirds and fourths. And honestly, if you really look at the configurations of different things, if you throw in the trades that they made, you know, with Dwayne Brown and Isaiah Battle and all that, they've literally traded for, they've given a draft away for what's the, you know, the equivalent of this right now. I mean, they've invested as, you know, they've invested heavy. Now, have they gotten the investments back? No. I mean, they're not getting to play for what they've been putting into it. They've been trying, so the effort has to be there. The efficiency right now, whether it's getting the guys to play or getting the right guys, that's been shaky. I mean, Reese Odhiambo struggled at left tackle. Jermaine Asfedi struggles at right tackle. I mean, Britt's a success. Now you can see they pick up Dwayne Brown, and he looks great at left tackle, even though he's fighting off an injury. So, no, it's just not an easy thing to do.
With your visibility, do you see Schneider improving their inside organization to increase the efficiency?
Well, I mean, again, you know he's going to self-scout himself and the organization to see what didn't go right and went right, and he'll come out of it well. Where you can look at it is that this team is still deep for talent. I mean, the fact that they have 10 offensive linemen, you know, they have 10 defensive linemen. And so you can see that they can lose key guys and still be able to survive it, and that's encouraging. But again, what we can see is the drain of injuries, the drain of what's happened to this team is now affected to the point now where it's going to be a struggle to get to 11 wins, and they're now probably not going to get a number one or number two seed. But still, I mean, don't count them out yet.
Oh, heck no. Hey, John, thank you.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here as we'll get you up to date still on some college football scores as we go along on this holiday weekend, and hope you're enjoying it. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving and had a good chance to, you know, catch up with family, catch up on food, all those good extra things. So, you know, as we continue along, it looks like Dom Pico just went back on the roster for the Denver Broncos, a defensive tackle. Kelvin Benjamin has been scratched by the Buffalo Bills. Looks like there's going to be more injury concerns for several other teams as they get ready for this game. You know, they looks like Captain Motherland is going to be out for the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. So, you know, and it's funny when, you know, I was working on this yesterday and I saw that David Chow, one of the doctors who we interviewed for Schooled with a Professor about a week ago, did the same thing. And so what he does, he'll take a look at the questionables, see how many that make it and don't make it to play. And what right now, where teams are doing a good job of at least tipping off where things are, that literally if it's a 67% rate, when you put a guy as questionable, 67% of them play. 33% don't. So, like, for example, I went through and counted up the guys listed as questionable for Sunday, just Sunday alone and not the night game. Oh, no, including the night game. And there's about 70. So that means what you're going to see is about 21 to 22 of those guys not able to play. And that's been pretty much the model so far this season. And that means that 22 guys won't be able to go. Injuries are now going to be slightly up over last year, which, of course, I don't think that surprises anybody. You know, there's going to be about 125 guys that were starters. And I just use starters as the example, not able to go. So, you know, but that's kind of the model right now in the National Football League. You know, you have the category where everybody was upset they took away probable, but as it turns out, it makes it a little bit clearer as far as who's going to be injured and who's not going to play and who's not. You have doubtful, and there hasn't been one doubtful player that's played this year. If you're out, you're out. That doesn't change. And the questionables, well, one-third of them are going to get out there, and one-third will not. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. Let's get you counted up here to see any adjustments here on the college football scoreboard. As you know, obviously the big game everybody's watching is Michigan and Ohio State. Ninth-ranked Ohio State now trails 20-14. That's Ohio State has the ball right now on the, let's see, what, on the Michigan 21. So they are trailing. 6:07 left in the third quarter. Tulane in a wild game beating SMU 38-34. That game is pretty close. I'll stay away from some of the bad games. Cincinnati and Connecticut tied at 15 because, you know, Georgia is such an important category here. We'll put Georgia out there. They're leading 31-7 over Georgia Tech. Wake Forest now in a little bit more of a battle against Duke. It's 17-10. Wake Forest with that 7-point lead. And UAB over Texas El Paso, 14-7. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show and running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. As we get you ready for what's going to be a great day coming up next after this show, more Cougar Apple Cup coverage along with the Huskies, all those different things. Let's go to Brent in Seattle. Hey, Brent.
Hey, John, it's been years since we talked.
Well, thank you.
I'm a University of Washington graduate, so but I expect the Cougs to pull off the upset today. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was there in 1983. I was there in 1997. I believe that if Washington had won that 97 game, then Jim Lambright would still be the coach here, and he would have been very successful. So I was feeling happy for the Cougs back then, just because Mike Price and Jim Lambert were friends and Washington State hadn't been there in 67 years. But I think that was the beginning of Jim Lambert getting fired, and that makes me sad today.
Yeah, because he's such a big
guy. As for today, you know, the Cougs need this one more. But the bad news is that if the Cougs win, they're not going to beat USC for the second time. I would like to get your thoughts, and then also I think that you guys are picking up 2 hours of the network coverage before the game rather than the 3 hours. And then after the game, you never have Coug talk. So I hope you have Coug talk after the game. That'll be all.
Okay. Hey, thank you. So, again, I think it's going to be a good game. And, of course, yeah, starting after this, we'll go straight into, you know, all kind of talk on what's going to be on about this game and how big this thing is. So just stay tuned. Let's go to Wheat in Tacoma. Hey, Wheat.
Yeah, what's going on, Big John? Hey, here I am, you know, doing my deliveries yesterday, hoping that we can have a little bit of change in Miami. Oh, they lost.
I know. Unbelievable.
Hey, John, I mean, for me, as a fan, I'm like, oh, cool, we might have a different team and all the big TV people and all that stuff. Hey, we have to have the same team because the millions and millions and more people will watch. I'm like, you know, that's what I always hear, but you know, that's all nice and neat. But for me as a fan, I'm like, oh, cool, maybe someone new will get in, and you know, we haven't seen in a while. Miami, you know, I was voting for Miami and everything, and I'm listening on the radio, and they lost. And I'm like, no, because somebody takes advantage of these opportunities, don't come around too often, John. And I'm like, my gosh, what? And then they put in their backup quarterback, John. Did you know that?
Yeah, they did, because I mean, Rozier was just so terrible. I mean, what was he like, about 12 for 31 at one point, and then they finally benched him and, you know, just didn't do anything.
How can it? Oh my! How critical you get?
Yeah, and Pitt was like 4-7 going into that game.
I don't know. I don't know what to think. I only heard it a little bit on the radio, and I just as a fan, I'm like, come on, and I'm like, what? They're losing, and just oh well, you know, what can you do? It was like when I was watching the Arizona State game in UW, and boy, I about broke my TV. I'm like, I mean, the guys even on ESPN were saying, make adjustments, Coach Peterson, make adjustments. I mean, for me, now that this time has passed, these are three away games, Alabama, Arizona State, Stanford, all away games that UW lost, that they needed to make adjustments. That's how I see it. The wide receivers couldn't do nothing. The running backs couldn't do nothing. That game versus Alabama last year, the biggest run game was when Jake Browning ran right up the middle. And for me, I'm thinking, bootleg right, bootleg left. Just do something with Jake Browning. Make them account for him then. That's what I was thinking.
No, that's just, it just surprises you when something like that happens.
Well, hey, that game versus Arizona State, I was like, oh my goodness, great. The guys on ESPN were saying, you need to make some adjustments. You guys can't do anything. You can't. How long? It took them like about the whole four quarters to score one touchdown at the end. It's like, Nick, how long does it take to make adjustments, guys? Come on, man. Put away your pride. You got to adjust to the talent that you... You know, I was watching A Football Life last night with Joe Gibbs, John, and, man, it was good because you think what he said is what Coach Belichick does is you make adjustments to the talent you have. Sometimes you got good defense. Sometimes you got good offense. So, you know, make those adjustments, and Joe Gibbs, here he won what, three Super Bowls.
Right.
At the end of that football life, that was his one of the last things he said. He says, you know, I just made adjustments to the talent I had. And I'm like, put away that pride and ego and let's evaluate. Let's see, what are we good at here? And let's just keep pushing that. So I like that because it made me think about me being a UW fan. And, oh, my gosh, just it was there for the taking again for somebody in the Pac-12 to be in it. And, well, I don't know. Maybe Wazoo can be in it. I don't know if they win today. I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean?
Well, the big thing is it's going to be fun. It starts at 5. I hope you enjoy.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you. We 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bruce in Seattle. Hey, Bruce.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I got a quick question for you. With all this stuff with Colin Kaepernick, pros and cons, what would it take for the pot of money for salaries available to the football players for that pot to start to shrink? I'll take your answer off.
Okay, go with that again. So what would cause it to shrink?
The money available for players' salaries, what would it take for that to shrink?
You mean in the future, in future years?
Yeah, in future years.
Okay, I'll give you an example. So, like, for example, naturally most players are complaining about Thursday night football, and rightfully so. It's hard to come back Sunday on a game and then play on Thursday. If you're a guy that's 30 years old, I mean, that body's not ready till Thursday. If you get a concussion, you're not going to play. So that's a reality, and it's true. But if you would take that away, that means the cap, which is right now, would go from 167 to 160. You'd lose $7 million of cap room per team, and that means players will not have the ability to get $211 million, and their average salary would shrink by $123,000. That would be, you know, so revenue right now in this league is based at $14 million, and the players get 46% of that $14 million. So there's a significant increase. And so just taking away the $450 to $500 million that's there for Thursday night football, that's how much it would go. That would cause a shrinkage, and if you start moving back in the cap, knowing that salaries go up 10%, I mean, it's going to be a very difficult things to do, and you look at bigger salaries. I mean, most starters now are getting $10 million a year plus anywhere between, and quarterbacks are getting $25 to $27 million. So a shrinkage in the cap would be devastating. Let's go to Austin in Tacoma. Hey, Austin.
Hey, John, I got a quick Seahawks question.
Yeah.
What do you think about moving Jermaine Effetti to right guard off the tackle because he's been getting exposed a little bit?
I think it's got to be a consideration, but depending on what are you going to put at right tackle. I mean, because really the only true option, I guess, that sounds good is Ethan Posick, and now he would be going in his third different position in about 5 or 6 weeks. Ethan was backing up on the right tackle spot before he started getting into the guard mix, and right now looks pretty good at guard. But, you know, if Effetti struggles and, you know, he tends to flinch a little bit when he's going against good pass rushers, that's a problem. And he cut down no penalties last week, but the penalty thing is one of the worst in football. I mean, I think he's more suited right now. He looks better at guard to me than tackle, probably to you too. But, you know, I don't know if they make that change right now. I think particularly knowing that they put Dwayne Brown at left tackle, you made that adjustment. Now you're getting Luke Joeko back, and now you have to figure out the right guard. One more change this week would have been too much, but hey, week to week, you have to kind of figure it out. They'll have to figure that out next week if things don't work in the 49er game.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Well, thank you.
Any series this coming up week?
Right now, I have nothing scheduled.
Okay, then quick question about Denver. With Paxton Lynch probably playing out the rest of the season, what's the most important thing to look for in his game? The progression through his reads, the turnovers and cutting them down, or the command of the offense?
I'd say points. The big thing, because again, anytime you make a change to a young quarterback, if it goes between 14 and 17 points, it's not going to go good, and it's going to count for losses. I think the key is finding a way that he can get 20 to 24 points out of this, and that may be too much of a challenge. I just don't know if he's ready at this stage to be able to take over an offense and be effective. And if that's going to be the case, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you see them with him being much more of a running quarterback? Are they gonna? Is that gonna improve the running game for the offense?
I tend to doubt it. I think, you know, he's a big quarterback. I don't know how well he's going to be as a running quarterback. I mean, he obviously he's got more athletic ability than Trevor Siemian, so they might be able to do more there. And definitely, you know, Brock Osweiler wasn't going to run, so maybe that helps a little bit. But you know, the receivers haven't played well. The offensive line hasn't played well, and the running game has been spotty. So you know, I never thought I'd be saying 3-7 and a 6-game losing streak for the Broncos. Never thought I'd be saying that.
Yeah, I mean, they've had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons. John, you take care, bud.
All right, Victor. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. We have a chance to maybe do one more quick call. And tell you what, we're going to give you a little bit of a scoreboard update right now in college football scores. Ohio State has just taken the lead over Michigan. They're in the third quarter, 1:34 left. It's 21-20. Tulane still leads SMU, 38-34. Blowout with Oklahoma State, 48-17 over Kansas. Memphis now 70 on East Carolina, 70-13. Purdue 31-16 over Indiana. It's 38-7 Georgia over Georgia Tech. Florida State now leads Florida 24-16. And of course, we will be back on Monday at 10. I'll be on the sidelines tomorrow. And then, of course, don't forget 9 o'clock next week. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.